The following is a presentation of the Chicago Bears Network. Now on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, this is the Bears Coaches Show with Bears head coach Mark Trestman, the coaching staff, and Bears management. The Bears Coaches Show is brought to you by McDonald's and sponsored by Bridgestone, Miller Lite, and North Shore University Health System. Now, from Palace Hall, here's the voice of the Bears, WBBM's Jeff Joniak.
And a pleasant good evening, everybody. Now in November, as we look at football in a very different light as November and December come, the season definitely takes on a different appearance, a week to refocus and recalibrate after the bye week as the Bears dig in for the last half of the regular season schedule, and it begins with an annual trip to legendary Lambeau Field. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Head coach Mark Trestman, good evening. How are you?
Jeff, it's great to be with you tonight.
We'll be with you here until 7:30. John Hoke, the Bears secondary coach, will join us at the top of the hour just after 7 o'clock. We're coming to you here from the Chicago Bears Network studios at Hallis Hall, the Bears Coaches Show brought to you by McDonald's. So, you had a busy week, I'm sure. I know you didn't get away. What did you accomplish?
Well, I think as we said, we had a plan going into the start of last week, which was to spend time, reassessing ourselves and the things that we've done over the last 8 weeks, and to try to clean up some of our football that, we failed to play good football the last 2 weeks. As I said this morning, it seems like Atlanta was months ago now, and we've got the taste of those two games, and we did a very, very good job of evaluating, just like we did last year at this time. We did some reassessment of some of the things that we're doing in all three phases. And when our players came in today, they want to know what they can do to get better, and we laid it out for them, the things that we've got to do to restart our season, and that'll all start on Wednesday.
Did you find out things that you didn't know was going on, or did you pretty much have a pretty good instinctual idea of what needed to be repaired?
I think in all three phases, you do find out some things, by looking at the tendencies or statistically, and you look at the tape, and a lot of different things come up. But I think we did find out some things that we didn't know that will enable us to get better.
How about the use of personnel? Anything that you may have learned from watching the tapes on there that may serve you well in the second half?
I
know you're not going to get, just so everybody knows, you're not going to spill the beans.
No, we're not going to do that. We're not going to lose our competitive advantage. But yes, I think that, we talked about, how to match up better in all three phases, how to increase some targets offensively, to create some more plays, some more explosive plays, and to minimize the negative plays. I think that's the one thing that we worked very hard at, is how can we minimize the negative plays? An example might be we've had 20 sacks this year, we had 30 all last year, so we're not where we want to be there. But we found out some reasons why we put ourselves in that position, and we've been able to explain to our players what we can do to improve in those areas. And they're multiple. It's not just physical. It has to do with the whole process from play call to down and distance and so forth. So we think we can do better in that regard.
I was talking to Ryan Mundy today, and I had an interview with him last week, so I circled back to him today. And he was just one of several players that were very refreshed. They feel that they needed to clear their heads. But also, he was very encouraged about how you guys came back today. Not that you just came back, because he said, in a situation like this, you never know how 53 guys are going to show up for the last half of a season that has not gone according to what everyone hoped.
Yeah, we got an amazing group of guys. Our fans need to know that. They're, they love football. They're hardworking guys. And, as with a lot of things in life, things don't always go your way. And, this is going to be a real recalibration for us. And our guys spent time thinking about it. There's no doubt about it. They spent time. I texted a bunch of players over the last few days, gave them a lead into what we were going to do today over the last couple of days with some texts, to all the players. And they came in ready to go, expecting that we'd give them some things to help us move forward. But they also came in with energy today. They had a smile on their face. They're ready to go back to work. We got a full day out of them today in terms of meeting times and got some practice in today as well. So we left them, I think, in a good place. I think they're excited. These guys love football. They can't wait to get back, and they get to go to Lambeau Field on Sunday night.
Can you give us any context on what types of feedback you got from the guys?
Well, I think that, part of it is just attitude and energy and demeanor. When you watch them move through the halls, when you watch them engage their coaches and their teammates, as I've said many times, our record isn't determinative about how our guys act around the building. It's not determinative of how they work on the practice field. We got to take that positive energy in the building and on the field, and we got to turn it into W's on game day on a more consistent basis, obviously. So those are the things, some of the things that are going on. They started in the weight room this morning. There's a lot of energy in there. At 7:15 this morning, the whole team was in there working out. We moved into meetings at 8:15. We had their undivided attention, as we always do. We've got a very compliant football team. They're willing to do whatever we ask. We tell them why we're doing it, and they go about their business and go about getting it done. So that's just part of it, just the way they move through the day, engage each other, relate to each other, coaches and players and so forth. So, you know, it really was consistent with what we would expect of them.
When you also, you know, stayed in touch with these guys, did the feedback that you got from them about what happened in the first half of the season, was it interesting to you? Did you hear things that you didn't expect to hear from them at all, or was it just simply about X's and O's?
Well, I think it was most about what do we got to do to move forward. You know, this is a very resilient team. And resilient is one of the things you are when you're resilient. You have the ability to put the past behind and move forward. And so that was really the essence, a lot of the responses I got. It's time to refocus and to get to work. You know, we got a long way to go. There's a lot of things that can happen this season. All of us, you know, we've got coaches who've experienced a lot of different things in their careers relative to not always going their way early and things moving in the right direction. And that's part of it. The guys know there's certainly opportunity out there, but it's not going to happen just by showing up on Sunday. They know they got to do it one day at a time.
Losing, of course, puts a target on everybody, and even this weekend when you're not playing, there was a report out there by Jason LaConfora, and the fellas in the locker room that I talked to were unaware of that report. So, again, keeping the noise out, but you were asked about it today a couple of times at the news conference. But it's not what the report that was put out there was not what we see every day.
Well, that's what I said. I only can, you know, answer the question based on what I see. And as I say many times, we got an amazing team of hardworking guys that love football. They do everything that we ask. Their energy is consistently excellent throughout the day. You know, we don't walk through here, you know, tight-lipped. I mean, there's a sense of humor in this building. As you all know, you're around the guys, you see that, and we want it. They know when to buckle down and when to work. As I said, our last game, and that is that the groundwork and the foundation for excellence is here. Now we've just got to take it to the Sundays and game days and play on a much more consistent and higher level. And we've shown we can do that. It's shown up during the season, but it hasn't shown up to the extent that we need to do it. And that is a more consistent, higher standard of performance.
All right, personnel guys are getting back. And Lance Briggs, one of them, obviously, that's big.
Yeah, that's big. We had most of our guys working back today, and Bostic was back and so forth. So Danny McCray was back today, you know, was out last week. And so we're moving back to getting most of our guys back. Obviously, Sharpton is still out with, rebooting that ham of his. And then Evan had appendicitis and had surgery this week, so he'll be week to week.
The Bears Coaches Show with head coach Mark Trestman and WBBM's Jeff Joniak continues.
Jay takes the snap. Jay winds up, looking to the end zone, throws it behind Marshall. He pulls it in for the touchdown! Touchdown, Bears! Brandon Marshall adjusting to that throw, and a beautiful catch.
That was a 3-touchdown game in San Francisco, which does feel like a very long time ago. That was week 2, so no game last week. So that is our play of the first half of the season. It's brought to you by McDonald's, proud partner of the Chicago Bears. Subsequent to that, though, there have been some really outstanding catches, as has been the case here the last couple of years with the Alshons and the Brandons and the Martellus Bennett, who had an unbelievable catch at a point in the game where, you know, you really, if it was a different scenario, you would have gone, wow. It still was a wow, but it was a point in the game, Mark, where you didn't go crazy over it, but that was a heck of a catch, too.
Absolutely. We got to get more targets and more explosive plays of the second half of the season.
All right, let's talk about those targets, because I went back, I looked. Wide receivers have caught 42% of the passes this year. Last year was in the 60s. What have you surmised about that?
Well, it's not enough.
About how, like, why? Why is the difference? That's a pretty big difference.
Yeah, I think it is. And when we go back and look through it, you know, Jay is, has done a good job of taking what the defense has given us. What we have to do is we have to, you know, do our best to recustomize things to add to the targets of those guys. They should really be up there, and we're going to do our best to, and we have worked very hard at trying to, you know, kind of reboot this thing to facilitate more touches and more targets for these guys.
Here's the crazy thing when I look at the offense. I brought it up the whole week. You know, first down production has been very good. You know, running the ball has been, you know, very good in my definition. What your definition is, you tell me. But, you know, I think it's 4.76 yards a carry on first down, 6.95 yards per pass attempt on first down. Second and whatever, you guys are not bad at all, among the league leaders in second and yards to go. Third down, you guys are seventh in the league in conversions. You're scoring at a high rate inside the 30, top five in the league, and inside the 20, top four in the league. So, yes, there have been turnovers. That can't be the only reason. So the ball is being moved. You are getting production. It's just it's a weird thing for me to look at it from a numbers standpoint.
Yeah, the numbers are not indicative of where we ought to be. And we haven't finished drives. We've been on a long field. There's no doubt about it, but other teams are as well. And we've got to be able to operate on a longer field and stay with our drives. We know we've had... you know, the lost fumbles, and we know we've had the interceptions. And when you look at the differences between, and the other part of it is over the last 3 or 4 weeks, we haven't created the turnovers that we did early in the season, particularly in San Francisco and against the Jets. So it's, quarterbacks and play offensive players do turn the ball over, and teams still win. We haven't been able to put that all together. We got to play continuity football and complementary football. We say it all the time. It goes into stops and it goes into staying on the field, and it's not as simple as game as it sometimes looks, and it's not as complicated as we make it sometimes. But there's a lot of, statistically speaking, it all looks good. But the bottom line is we haven't gotten the ball in the end zone enough, and we got to do that more consistently.
All right, let's take a look at some personnel. Jordan Mills going to get a look at left guard. Moving from right tackle, Michael Ole at right tackle. But that's not etched in stone just yet. You'll let the week go. But what have you analyzed about Jordan playing that position versus playing on the outside?
Well, we haven't, you know, tried to overanalyze it either. Mike's been at the right tackle for a while. We thought today we'd take a look at Jordan. I think it's going to kind of resurface and figure itself out by Wednesday or Thursday, we think. But we just wanted to move him over there to take a look at it, see how he felt about it. We're going to talk to him about it later tonight. We're going to have a chat with him about it, and we will tomorrow as well, and we'll see where that all sits as we move into Wednesday.
What is the impact of a guy playing on the right side versus the left side after he's done it his whole season, last season, and then moving over? It's different.
Oh, it's totally different. It's a completely different space that you're dealing with, and you've got, you know, when you're starting out there at the tackle position, there's really one guy out there you got to block, and now you're sitting inside, and you've got, you know, passing people, or not that you don't pass things off outside, because you do, but now you're not just working with one guy, you're working with two guys and either side of you, and it's a different element. It also is an important element because we want to be able to step up in the pocket, and Jordan's got size and length and he's strong hands to be able to do that, and we wanted to take a look at it without moving Michael today, but that doesn't mean we're gonna stay with that. We'll just we took a good look at it today. We're gonna talk more about it in the next 48 hours.
And we've touched on this too. I called him the Swiss Army knife today. He goes, I'd rather not be referred to that way, but he has been. Michael Ole has played every position very well this season.
It's pretty remarkable.
Yeah.
You know, this is the National Football League, and these players on the other side of the ball are specialists at their position, and he's gone in it. Four different positions and been able to, handle the challenge. So I don't know that you have to say any more about his intelligent football intelligence, athleticism, and a sense for the game to be able to move around and do that and grade out the way he has is pretty remarkable.
Now, more of the Bears Coaches Show with head coach Mark Trestman on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, WBBM.
Garza sends it back. They run it to Matt Forte. Blockers in front. He explodes to the goal line and into the end zone. Matt Forte's in. Touchdown. Touchdown, Bears. Well-designed front wall led the way and paved the way for Matt to get in.
And that was the Atlanta game, Mark Trestman. As we welcome back to the Bears Coaches Show here at the Chicago Bears Network Studios, brought to you by McDonald's. And that is our player of the first half of the season. Xfinity always brings us the player of the game, brought to you by Xfinity, your home for the most live sports. And Matt Forte, by all accounts, and from your perspective, I'd like to hear your answer. But, you know, to me, the definitely one of, if not the most valuable player of the first half of the season. Despite the 3-5 record, he was all over the place.
Yeah, Matt has done just an exceptional job of doing everything we've asked him to do, and he's also been one of our most valuable players in the locker room as well. Just he's a steady force each and every day. His demeanor, as I've said this many times on the show, is just remarkable, the professionalism which he approaches each and every day and the impact he has on the players around him.
Balance. And I got hit this week with just different people. Hey, what does that mean? What is he looking for? Is it just simply 50-50? No. It's more complex than that. So can you just tell the...
You know, I think that we're dealing with a unique back, and there's no right or wrong way to look at this, in my mind. You know, you want to be able to run or throw when you want to run or throw. I think that's number one. We got a unique back. I mean, he's got 58 catches right now, and he's got 130 carries. You know, the way he is, we're trying to prolong his career as well. When you catch the ball in space, you take the hits off, and you're still able to accumulate yards. What we have to do is we have to become more efficient so we can go the length of the field and score touchdowns. How we do that really doesn't matter. You know, it's going to get colder. The weather is going to change. You know, we want to be able to run the football when we want to be able to do it and feel comfortable doing it. I think we're close to doing it that way. But, you know, Matt, because he's a lot of these teams we face, they have 2-3 backs that they're playing all the time, sometimes four, almost each and every week. There's 2-3 and sometimes even 4 backs. You know, Matt isn't leaving the field. So the residual effect on the, and the pounding on him, if he had, and he's had many times where he has 15, 18, 20 carries as well as eight catches. So that's a lot of touches. Some of that residual effect on the body is helped because we're throwing it to him in space as opposed to running it. So we do have a little bit of an aberration with the type of back that we have and the touches that he's getting. We'd like to get some of those touches, particularly in the passing game, to 15 and 17. You'd like to Elshon and Brandon to pick up some of those catches so we can kind of change this balance of targets, and we're going to work on that.
And using Kadeem Carey, you know, to also supplement that.
Absolutely. You know, we've done a little bit of that as we move forward, and we got a lot of confidence in Kadeem. I think our fans have seen enough of him to see that he's a real deal. He's a physical running back. He does change the tempo a little bit. His style is just a little bit different than Matt's. You know, Matt's a very smooth runner. You can feel his power. Kadeem has got a little more, you know, there's a little more suddenness and quickness, at least visibly, because he's a little smaller. So everything looks like it's happening a little bit faster. Matt's a big back with power and explosion, but it just looks differently on the field. And Kadeem's done a nice job of picking things up and doing a good job in his pass protection as well.
You can say very simply, well, everybody, you know the Packers, they know you, but that's not the case. Each week is different. So what'd you learn about the last experience that can use to this experience?
Well, we felt
from what you're looking at him now.
Yeah, I mean, you start, you know, defensively, and what we know we're up against, one of the rare players in the history of the game. He's been playing very well. New Orleans did a nice job of slowing him down a little bit. Got a couple of turnovers, got tip balls, and that benefited New Orleans and their offense certainly. So we know we got it all starts with stopping him, and then you know offensively, you know we've moved the ball consistently against the Packers in the last two games, really the last three games that we've played them back last year there and this year here. Every week is different. You know, Dom Capers does a tremendous job. You know, he'll look at what we've done. He'll make the adjustments from the first game. We're going to have to, you know, do the same. But you know, we got to go up there and we got to stay on the field offensively. And it's the same old story. It has been with the Matt Ryans of the world and the, you know, last week Tom Brady. I mean, we've got to stay on the field offensively and not only stay on that. We got to score going up there. It's tough. I mean, in the first half of games, this is one for you, Jeff. They've outscored. I got one for you tonight, but they've outscored their opponents in the first half about 150 to 90 in the first half of the season. So
well, you know, Aaron is, you know, when they get him the lead, He's very tough.
Yeah, he's very, very tough. And quarterbacks like that are. So, you know, we're going to go in and we're going to have a great game plan. We did in the first game. We got to move the football. We got to stay on the field, and we got to score touchdowns.
All right, Mark, good luck this week.
You betcha.
That is Bears head coach Mark Trestman. Coming up next, John Hoke, the Bears secondary coach, with his perspective on the defense so far in the first half of the season and looking forward to the Packer game.
The Bears Coaches Show with head coach Mark Trestman. And this hour featuring defensive backs coach John Hoke, brought to you by McDonald's and sponsored by University of Phoenix, Verizon, Walgreens, and Xfinity. Once again, the voice of the Bears, WBBM's Jeff Joliet.
We had good energy here. I thought we had a good practice to go out there, get the blood flowing again, get the competitive juices going again. And I'm excited about the second half of the season, as I think our team is.
That is Ryan Mundy, the Bears starting safety, as we welcome you back to the Bears Coaches Show from the Chicago Bears Network studios at Hallis Hall. Jeff Joniak here until 7:30, now joined by secondary coach John Hoke. Good evening. How are you?
Good evening.
You heard the words of your safety, Ryan Mundy?
What'd yes.
What'd you think of today?
It was a good start. It was a real good start. It came out with a lot of energy, ready to go, ready to work, and being the pros that they are, were very in tune with what was happening out there.
And that conversation with Ryan, and I just mentioned it with Coach Trestman, it doesn't guarantee that after the bye week and everybody goes away and clears their mind at what I think was an ideal point, and I think players and coaches probably agree it was an ideal, you don't know how everybody's going to come back. You don't know what – it's 53 human beings that have their own thoughts, and a week away could be really good or it could have been really bad.
Yeah, everybody handles everything differently, what Ryan said was true, and I felt that about the whole group. They came back ready to go. You know, we have a unique blend. We have Ryan, who's been in the league for a while, and then we have Al Lewis Jean, who just turned 21, 2 weeks ago. So, you know,
that makes you feel old, doesn't it?
Absolutely. But I mean, that kind of gives you, we have a little bit of a, we've changed a little bit over the course of this season. From when you had Charles, Tim, Ryan, Chris Conte, and you kind of had a veteran group out there. And then it's changed over a little bit through injury and those type of things. And so, most of the time the young guys are going to have energy. They're ready to go. And so that's always refreshing. And then you've got such good leaders. We got good men as leaders with Ryan Mundy and Tim Jennings. And those guys that have been in the league for a while, they do a tremendous job, Danny McCray. So it's a good blend right now.
You know, I didn't really stop and think about it until you just brought it up, but how challenging has that been for you and your staff with that during season change in maturity and experience?
It's been a challenge, but it's been a great challenge because they're so willing to work. If you could see these guys every day just come in there and they want information, they want to learn, they're totally engaged in every meeting, they ask all the right questions. So from that standpoint, it's been wonderful. Now their play may have been up and down a little bit. We're not as consistent as we need to be, but some of that's expected, not accepted, but it's expected. But every day they're ready to go. I mean, and you better, Kyle Fuller, He wants you to be ready. Tim Jennings wants you to be ready to go. They want information. They want to know what they need to do to win.
So when you say they want you, the coach,
yes,
to be ready. So they have an me more about that, especially when you talk about Kyle.
Well, they have an expectation. They want to be taught. These guys are we kind of set it up with Chris and I as a classroom, and there's nothing. That's what it is. We're teaching the game of football, pro football, and so. They expect us as the teacher, however you want to coach, they expect us to give them information to try to help them to be the best they can be. They want to be ready on Sunday. They want to feel very comfortable that they understand what their expectation is and how they're going to be attacked.
Now, what do they do then when it doesn't work out on Sunday? How do you handle that when they say, but here's what I was supposed to do, it doesn't work out?
I'm not following.
As a player. If it doesn't work the way they envision it to work,
right.
How do they then show up the next week and want to listen?
Well, every day. I mean, usually what the breakdown is it's either we have a breakdown in reading our key, it's either an alignment or a technique breakdown. Those are the things that get you in trouble. And those are the things that you have to be extremely disciplined in as a player. And if you think about what they do, they've got 70,000 people in a stadium screaming at them. They know any play could end up on ESPN as a highlight, and they want to be perfect every time because they want to make sure they're being the best player they can be. And usually the things that get a player in trouble or that the coach has to make sure he keeps reinforcing and going over, it's usually a technique error or it's getting their eyes in the wrong place and not reading their key correctly. Those are the things that happen. Missed tackles happen, but we tackle every day. We tackle Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and we work on tackling. And so we know that there'll be some misses, and we can get those corrected. But it's just the day-to-day grind of staying on reading a key, using the proper footwork, staying on your technique.
The Bears Coaches Show with defensive backs coach John Hope and WBBM's Jeff Joniak continues.
We regroup right now. You know, we had that time off. You get away from it, you know, sit back, get your thoughts together, you know, ask yourself, you know, what is it that you really want? How do you really want this second half of the season to go? It's up to us. It's up to us to get that done.
That's Willie Young from earlier today up here at Halisaw, the Bears defensive end. A little self-reflection across the board. Everybody involved with the organization as the Bears come out of the bye week and get ready for the Green Bay Packers here at 7:13 with John Hope, the Bears secondary coach. And that was the exercise. Everyone was tasked with that exercise over the course of the week to really look at themselves and see what they could do differently. Did you sense you got that from all your guys?
Sure. You know, we did Chris and Harris and I put together some tapes for them and sent them to them, you know, that they could watch and kind of go through their season, positive plays, negative plays, and just kind of see where they're at and where they need to go.
Are they honest with their own analysis?
Oh, I believe they are. Yes, I believe they are most of the time, especially when you have it written out for them and they see it and they understand it. I think they have a much better, at the end of the day, you know, it's always hard to admit it at first. But the more that, you know, once they, they come to terms with it, yes, this is what happened, and this is where I need to improve.
Do you I shouldn't say the word like, do you mind if there are players that ask a lot of questions, or do you prefer the guy to listen, digest, go out there and ask questions for the sake, not for just the sake of asking questions?
No, I like the questions, because I think the more communication you have back and forth, I think the better it is for the player. I think it's better for the coach also, because if you listen to the question and you listen to why he's asking, you're going to learn more about him and how he needs to learn and how he needs to be taught or what points he's not really getting. So that's why I think the questions are important. But you got to listen.
Right. Now, see, that brings up another thing. Are some players, and I know this from athletes that I know, some are better visual learners where you have to go out in the practice field and show them as opposed to drawing it up and showing them, and they can get it that way. Is that the case?
A lot. You know, everybody's a little bit different. I think that tape is a big part of it. That helps them visually. If you can say, hey, this is how we do it, and this is when they see a clip of somebody doing it the right way, and this is, you know, they can emulate it. And so they can see it, and so then they can emulate it out on the practice field also.
All right. So in your opinion, how did things go in the first half of the season for your secondary?
You know what? We had some very good moments, and then we had some moments we're not very proud of as a group, coaches included. You know, you could look at some games, and you're extremely proud of the way they went out there and played and competed, and San Francisco, the way they played and competed. Atlanta, the way the physicalness of it, the way they competed there. And then obviously, you know, there were games that we weren't as good as we needed to be. And too many errors, not playing tight enough in the certain situations coverage-wise. So those games were disappointing too. So I would say it was, it was inconsistent.
You know, and some of that has to do with a bunch of new bodies too. I mean, there'll be the six different linebacking core on Sunday night. The offensive line certainly has had six different. There's been plenty of change as well, as you've indicated, in the secondary. So is it? And it's not an excuse, but the chemistry aspect of a 21-year-old corner in a game against a legend,
right?
And you know, it can't be a simple thing. I mean, you're expecting them to go out there and play,
yes,
and play at a high level, but how do you overcome that inexperience and win at the same time?
You know, you get takeaways.
And that's another big one.
Absolutely,
big
it's
one.
A big one. You find a way to go make a play and get a ball, whether you force a fumble, whether you get an interception. You know, it's always like, oh, 17-play drive. That's 17 opportunities to get a takeaway. It all depends on how you look at it. And so those were 17 opportunities we didn't take advantage of. We should have taken the ball off the man somehow, some way. There's opportunities out there. I've had the greatest privilege in coaching to coach Charles Tillman, right? And really kind of watch Charles Tillman. I don't know what, you know, how much coaching was going on. I thought I was coaching, but Charles is such a dynamic player. You could always, you know what, it seemed like at the right time, he took the ball away. He found a way. He could have a terrible play, and all of a sudden the ball's on the ground and he's got it. So those are the things that you don't want to rely on those as the only way, but they can make a difference, and you have to have that on your mind as a player.
The Bears Coaches Show with head coach Mark Trestman continues exclusively on the home of the Bears, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, WBBM.
And welcome back to the program. John Hoke, the Bears secondary coach, also here tonight. And we'll check in with Coach Trestman from earlier in the program in just a minute. Watch Bears Game Day Live, brought to you by Advocate Healthcare, Sundays at 10:30 a.m. on Fox 32 Chicago, part of the Chicago Bears network of shows. And we featured Kyle Fuller during the bye week, and the takeaway is just all this influence from his family, mom, dad included, but the brothers. And I asked him, give me one thing from each of the brothers that you have learned that you can use. And it just came to him. I mean, he knows. He just, as you told me one time, he's his own man.
Yeah.
He does things, and he's in Pat Manley's old locker, first one on the left, and he's there every day on schedule. Just, you can count on that kid.
Yes.
And what's he like to coach that kid?
He's really he's been a lot of fun because he wants to be great. He truly wants to be great. And every day, what do you got for me? And what do you got new today? What are we working on today? It's always something, you know, let's get better today.
All right. Now, getting better. That experience Al Lewis Jean had in New England.
Yes.
How will that serve him down the road, in your opinion?
It'll serve him because, you know, he probably went, obviously that's a team that's playing very good team football right now, if you watched the Sunday night or Sunday afternoon game versus Denver. So that team is playing very well right now. So he got in a situation where he was probably playing one of the elite quarterbacks in the league and can put the ball where he needs to put it, has very good command of his offense. And, you know, they went after him, and they went after Kyle also. So they were going after the young players.
As you would expect them to.
Sure, especially that group. And, you know, we wanted to make sure we were able to stop the running game, so we played a little single high, and he was in quite a few one-on-one situations, but he learned from every situation. You know, he was competing, he was right there, never made a play that we would like him to make, and he knows he would like to make, but when he goes back and watches the tape, it was because he reverted a little bit back to techniques that, you know, because it's probably the first time he's been in that type of the fire, you know, it's on and it's hot. It can be
hot.
So
you always go back to what you learned first.
Well, yeah,
right?
You just kind of revert, you know, he's not as consistent with his hands or his footwork, and those things can be cleaned up. I've seen guys improve over it, and he'll improve over it. He's an extremely competitive young man. So that's what he'll take away. If I'd have done the technique right, I would have been in better position, or I had a chance to do this, I would have been in better position. So I think it was a good experience for him.
Right.
It was painful but I think in the end it'll serve him well.
What have you learned from the last Packer game you can use Sunday?
Well, you know, I've played him a few times, and so you always got to figure out a way of how do you want to defend him. And, you know, we've defended him a lot of different ways. We've had some success with him defending him certain ways. So you always go back and look at that and say, why did this work, and how can we improve on it, those type of things.
All right. Well, good luck on Sunday.
Thank you.